Father, we thank you for your word. Oh Lord, we thank you that it's so accessible here. We thank you that anyone here can have a copy. All we have to do is ask. We can get a copy. And Lord, many of us here have multiple copies. We thank you that, Lord, we have it. Lord, there was a time that you just spoke through the mouths of the prophets. Lord, we would have to go to the prophet. We would have to go see Jeremiah or whoever, and you would speak. There was a time that the word became flesh, and that your word dwelled on the earth, and you walked the earth in the person of Jesus. And if we needed to hear from you, we could go find Jesus, and we could hear from you. And Lord, we thank you for this time that we now have the final form of your word, your written word. And that if we want to hear from you, all we have to do is get a copy. All we have to do is listen anywhere, in any means, online or on a CD. And Lord, we can hear your word. We thank you that it's living, that it's active, that you speak through it. And we ask that you would speak through your word right now and through your messenger and your message. Give us your message. And Lord, get me out of the way. Let us hear from you, Jesus. And we pray it in your name. Amen. Wake up. I thought that'd be louder than it was. The alarm. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. Alarms are good. They wake us up. The alarm clock is unpleasant as it sounds and the pain it causes. Sometimes on a night you haven't had much sleep and you've got 6 hours of sleep under your belt, and you hear the but you know it's that time, and you can somehow appreciate the alarm. You can somehow appreciate the wake-up call because you hit it and you get it off, but then, thank the Lord, you wake up at that time, you go, and you can pursue the day on time and not start in a bad way. In the same way, you can get that wake-up call from the hotel that you're staying at and have the phone ring at the certain time. It's unpleasant. It's painful. But it gets you where you need to be. God gives his church in Sardis a wake-up call in Revelation chapter 3. Turn there with me. If you're new at this, that's the last book in the Bible. Easy to find. Start at the back and you're there. Revelation 3, let's look at these first three verses. Jesus is giving these words to these churches. We have these letters to these different churches, and he's speaking to these different churches. And if you have a Bible with a red letter, it's easy to see that it's Jesus speaking. But Jesus is speaking to his church in Sardis. In Revelation chapter 3, and we just want to look at these first three verses. In Sardis, or Sart, was the capital of the ancient kingdom of Lydia. It was a city of great wealth and fame. The Acropolis was a natural citadel on the northern spur of Mount Tmolus. As my notes say, it was about 1,500 feet above the lower valley. But Jesus is speaking to his church there. And he says this. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Well, let's apply this to our lives as individuals. This message is for each of us as an individual to wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. This message is for our church as a whole, God's church, Jesus' church here, the church at Highland Avenue, not the church at Sidus, at Sardis. This message is for the church at Highland Avenue Baptist Church. Wake up, church. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. So first of all, what we see that we can do here in these first three verses, if we're going to wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, is let Jesus examine you. If you want to wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, let Jesus examine you. He's the great physician. We go to physicians for examinations, don't we? Some of us, more often than others. I see some people smiling out there who've told me about things coming up here. And we're always praying for each other Wednesday night with examinations at the doctor that come up, aren't we? Well, it's a good thing to go to the doctor and get an examination, isn't it? Because you want to stay healthy. We all need to go to the doctor and let him examine you. It's a good thing to do about once a year. How many people go to the doctor at least once a year to get an examination? Okay, good. Some people make a regular practice of that. Well, you need to go if you're not going. Who said? I don't know what you said over there. And so what happens? Well, you go to the doctor for that examination and you let him check you out. And you say, Doctor, I hope you don't call him Lord. you go to him, you let him check you out, you let him examine you. And you say, how am I doing, Doc? What's going on? And let's just say you went to an examination and he said, I see some things that could happen here in your near future. Here's what you need to do. You need to do X, Y, and Z. You need to do these different things. And make sure you're doing these. Do these things and do them diligently. Because I foresee something could happen in the future here. Maybe it's with your heart. Your heart's kind of weak here. You need to be doing these things. X, Y, and Z. Well, so you get that examination. And the doctor tells you what to do. Well, let's look at the great physician's examination on his church here at Sardis. Look at verse 1. This is just like going to the doctor, the great physician Jesus. Verse 1. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Well, right off the bat, we see who's doing the examination. Jesus, the great physician. So he's going to examine this church. And then he says what he sees here. He says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. And so Jesus, the great physician, says, I know your deeds. Well, he does that to each of us. If you, right now, in your own spirit, say, Jesus, examine me. Lord, you're my great physician. Would you do an examination on me? How am I doing, Jesus? He's going to tell you. Let him examine you as an individual. He says to them, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. What would he say to you as an individual? Maybe you just prayed that quiet prayer in your heart right now. Maybe you just said, examine me, Jesus. What do you see? And maybe he's putting things in your mind right now. What would he say to you? Could it be? Would he say any of this? Would he say, I know your deeds? We know he'd say that. He knows all of our deeds. And he knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows all of our deeds. You can fool everybody else, but he knows it all. He knows your heart at the deepest level. So he would definitely say to you and to me, I know your deeds. In this examination. But then he says to them, you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. What would he say to you in that area? Would he say that to you? You have a reputation of being alive. In other words, to everybody around you, you've got a reputation of being alive. Everybody thinks everything's great with you. Everybody thinks you're alive, you're living. You know, Jesus is the abundant, he is the life, and he gives abundant life and eternal life. But would he say that to you? You have a reputation of being alive. In other words, everybody who looks at you, everybody who knows you, they think you're alive. They think you're great. They think you're the best Christian. I don't know what the Lord's speaking to you. They think all these, you got a reputation of being alive. Oh no, but what would he follow it with? He said, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive. I know what everybody thinks about you. But, comma, and then what would he say? What would be next? Would he say something like that? Would he say something like this? But you are dead. But you are dead. Would he say, I know you at the deepest level? Would he say that to you? What would he follow with the but? But what? What would he say to you? Only you know that. Only you can ask him that. Only you can discern that in your spirit, in your heart. Maybe he's speaking it right now in your head. Well, what about the church? Highland Avenue Baptist Church. What would he say to us? Well, we know he would say, I know your deeds. Oh, examine us now, Jesus. As a church, Highland Avenue Baptist. We know. He would say, I know your deeds, because he knows the deeds of Highland Avenue Baptist Church. Then what would he say? Would he say anything like this? You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Would he say anything like that? Well, what do we do? So we go to that examination. Let Jesus examine you. Let him examine our church. And then next, wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. That's what we see in verse 2. And then he follows it by, there's a comma there. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. That's what he says to this church at Sardis. Wake up, strengthen what remains. So there's a little bit left. There's a little bit left to work with. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. death's coming their way. But there's a little bit left that you can work with. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Sardis, church at Sardis, your deeds are not complete in the sight of my God. In other words, God's been telling you, do this and do this, do this, do this. But your deeds are not complete. That's why you are where you are. Well, how's it look with the doctor? Well, let's say 6 months pass after that examination you just had, and you go back to the doctor, and you get back in there, and you're a little apprehensive about it, a little nervous about it, because you know what he said last time, and you get in there, and you see the doctor again. And then what would you do if this time he said, oh, my goodness, you know, what have you been doing? Have you been following my advice? And what if he said, wake up. You need to wake up. You know, I thought I spoke clearly to you last time. You need to wake up. You need to strengthen what remains and is about to die. You know what these tests show? What if your doctor said, you know what these tests show? That heart, what I was telling you about, that's coming. Have you been doing what I told you to do? What I was warning you about, it's almost here. You got a little bit left. You may still have a little time left. You got a little bit left. And so I'm just telling you right now, sir, here's your warning. Here's your wake-up call. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. And so, you leave his office and you have a choice to make. You can either wake up, and we'll get to that choice, but you got a choice to make when you leave his office. Well, he tells this to that church, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. In other words, the things I've been telling you to do, X, Y, and Z, church, you haven't been doing them. And now there's just a little bit left. You've got to strengthen what remains and is about to die. Now that alarm, sometimes it's kind of painful, isn't it? Sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes it hurts. Well, when you just heard that from the doctor, you had some pain in your heart, not just the physical pain from that heart getting worse, but you had some other kinds of pains because you got a wake-up call. What about you as an individual? What about you and your walk with Jesus? What about after the examination he just did of you? Would he say something like this in verse 2? To you or to me? Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Maybe he's giving you a wake-up call this morning. Maybe he's telling you to wake up. And maybe you've got some pain right now in your heart. Maybe he's allowed some pain in your life in other areas. Because he's trying to give you a wake-up call. And you got pain in different areas of your life. Maybe it's financial pain or it's relationship pain or some other kind of pain. But maybe he's giving you a wake-up call. Like that doctor, like the great physician he is for you that loves you. And maybe he's saying, strengthen what remains and is about to die. There's a little bit left still to work here with. There's a little bit left. And so I'm telling you, wake up. Here's the pain I'm letting you experience. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. Because you're headed that way for death. But, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. In other words, maybe the Lord's telling you this morning, I told you X, Y, and Z. I've been telling you what to do. You won't obey me. You won't do it. What are you doing? I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. What about the church? Highland Avenue Baptist Church. What would he say to us when the great physician Jesus looks at Highland Avenue Baptist Church? Would he say, wake up? Would he say, wake up? I believe he's given us an alarm. I believe he's given us a wake-up call. He's given us some pain. And it manifested itself in financial pain. He's given us a wake-up call. I believe he's saying, wake up, Highland Avenue Baptist Church. But I believe he's saying this too. Strengthen what remains. There's still something to work with here. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. But we're headed for death. Headed that way. Possibly. I don't know. That's up to the Lord. But maybe he's saying to us, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Maybe there's some things that God has been telling Highland Avenue Baptist Church to do. Maybe he's been saying it over and over and over again. Maybe we haven't been doing it. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I've not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Maybe there's some things left undone that God has told Highland Avenue Baptist Church to do. Well, one thing is at some point he gave our church a mission statement. And it's straight from Scripture. Somehow Highland Avenue Baptist Church took what God said in His Word, to love the Lord your God, the greatest commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You think God's been telling Highland Avenue Baptist Church that? Oh, definitely. He's been telling the church, because it's in His Word. Everything in His Word, that's what He's been telling Highland Avenue Baptist Church. But he's been saying, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he added a second one to it. Jesus did when he was asked, what's the greatest command in all the law? And he said, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the greatest two commands. That's the greatest two commands that Highland Avenue Baptist Church can obey. Love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And then he also said before he left, he told us what to be doing. Before he ascended to heaven, Jesus told the church, and it was his whole church. Highland Avenue is just one of them. Highland Avenue is just one local body of his whole body of believers. But he told his church, and I think we've probably heard this before here, so I think he's probably been telling us this here too. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. I think we've heard that before. I think he's told us that before. I think he's been telling us that. And so, I wasn't here, but Highland Avenue Baptist Church came up with a mission statement that I believe is from the Lord, because it's just straight from Scripture. And then God says, you can't do any of these things that I've just called you to do apart from my Spirit. God says, be filled with the Spirit. That's the only way to do anything for the Lord that counts, is His Spirit. Him working through you. His Spirit working through the church. And so, Here's the mission. It's in your worship. It's in your friendly fellowship every week. And here's what the church said. Highland Avenue is, to be a fellowship. Highland Avenue Baptist Church is to be a fellowship of baptized believers living out the great commandment through the ministry of the Great Commission in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we said. This is our mission. This is what we're going to do. And so we know that that's what he tells us to do, just as his church. Love him with all that we are. Love our neighbor as ourselves, and make disciples. And the way Jesus taught to make disciples, it's disciples. Jesus made disciples. And the disciples that he made, he taught people to make disciples who make disciples. That's how Jesus did it. That's his model. And so he's been telling us, love him with all that you are. Love your neighbor as yourself, and make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And so what does he say to Highland Avenue Baptist Church? Could he be saying, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. In other words, all these things, they're not complete. You're not doing X, Y, and Z. You see, if we were obeying, you may be saying, we've been making disciples for years. Look at all the disciples in my Bible study group. Hold on. There wouldn't be any financial problems. When we make disciples, if we make a disciple, what does that mean? We reach somebody, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So if we make a disciple, it means we reach somebody, they come in, they get baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and then we teach them to obey. We don't just educate them, we don't just teach them God's word. That's being a hearer of the word, not a doer. We teach them to obey God's word. And so if we're doing that, well then, if we're making disciples, well then more and more people go, there's one, there's two, there's three, there's 10, there's 20, there's 30, there's 40. And God's plan is not for us to get to 10 or 15, which 10 would take care of the financial problem, and 15, oh, we'd be totally fine. But that's not his, it wouldn't be his will to stop there and say, oh, we got 10 or we got 15. We don't feel financial pain anymore. Let's relax. Oh, no. It's God's will to make disciples continuously, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. So could he be saying, strengthen what remains and is about, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I've not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Well, good news, he tells us how to do it. Here's how. Verse 3, so, all right, Lord, I'm woken up. How do I do it? What do I do, Lord? Verse 3, remember, here's how to do it. Here's how. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. That's how to do it. That's what he tells the church at Sardis. Remember, therefore, think back. Remember, therefore, what you've received and heard from the Lord. What's God been saying, church at Sardis? Remember, think back what you've received and heard, and then obey it and repent. And that word there, obey it, it means be very careful with it. Observe it. Watch it. Be extremely careful. With whatever God has said, in your own time, read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. That was in our His Word for you. God's talking about be very careful with what He says right there. But to obey it means be very careful with what you've heard, with what God has said. Cherish it. Take it. Make sure you do it. Be very careful with it. That's what it means. Obey it and repent. And repent means do it. It's a change of lifestyle. It means it changed your thinking. And once you take hold of it and you decide you're going to obey it, then you do it. And you change your thinking, which changes your actions and your behavior. And then you do it and you start doing it. That's what he's saying to do. So he's telling this church this. And what about you at the doctor? Well, you know, so you went there, and now you got your wake-up call. It's painful, and you go home. But what do you do? Well, here's the answer. Remember what you've received and heard from the doctor, X, Y, and Z. Remember what you've received and heard, obey it and repent. So you get home from the doctor and you sit down and you think back, okay, what all did the doctor tell me? X, Y, and Z. Okay, and then you get diligent about it. You obey and repent. You obey, you get very careful with it. You take all the instructions he gave you. You say, okay, let me grab it all. I'm going to be very careful with this. I'm making a list. I'm going to say, okay, the doctor said do this. He said do this. He said do this. And I'm going to do all I can to do it. And I'm going to repent. I'm going to start doing it. And so what's going to happen? So I'm going to strengthen what remains. and so remember what you've received and heard, obey it and repent. Well, what about you? What's God telling you as an individual? What's he telling you? Maybe he's just giving you a wake-up call in your life. And now he's telling you how. Here's how. Remember. Sit down, go home, and sit down and think back. And remember, therefore, what you've received and heard. Remember everything you've received and heard from the Lord that he's been telling you. And then be very careful with it. Grab it, take hold of it. Obey it and repent and do it and change. What does he say to Highland Avenue Baptist Church? Well, here's the answer. Here's how. Remember what you've received and heard. Well, we've just been over a lot of what God's been telling us for years, over and over, that end up being deeds that are not complete. Well, remember Highland Avenue Baptist Church, what you've received and heard. What have you received and heard from the Lord? Obey it. Be very careful with it. Be very careful. Obey it and repent and do it. Have a deep change of thinking and action and behavior. Do it. And here's our final point. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. So here's how. Do it now. That's what we see in the second part of verse 3. But if you do not wake up, giving you that alarm. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. That does not sound good. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. That would be you sitting at home, and you've got your list now and everything, and you just get... you just get complacent again and you just stop doing all those things. You still don't do all the things on the list and you didn't wake up. And what happens? The Lord Jesus comes like a thief and it all ends. You won't be here anymore. What about you as an individual? What about you? Could Jesus be telling you, but if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief and you will not know at what time I will come to you. There will be a time it will end. If you don't wake up and strengthen what remains, there'll be a time that it ends and there's no more time. Time's up. That's it. Highland Avenue Baptist Church. But if you do not wake up, Highland Avenue Baptist Church, I will come like a thief. You will not know at what time I will come to you. No one knows when the thief's going to break in. It's totally unexpected. It could be at any time. And you will not know at what time I will come to you. And this is not talking about the second coming because it's dependent on their repentance. If they repent, if they don't repent, if they refuse to repent, then he will come. So it's not the second coming here, although that phrase is used throughout the New Testament for the second coming. This is if you don't repent. Highland Avenue Baptist, wake up. I will come like a thief and you will not know at what time I will come to you and it'll all be over. That's it. Time's up. No more Highland Avenue Baptist. Let's pray. Father, please help us, Lord. Help us to let you examine us, Lord. If there's someone here today it needs to let you examine because they feel like they might not have a relationship with you. Lord, if you're speaking that to someone's heart right now, thank you for waking them up this morning to that reality and help them right now to come to you and say, Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. And I realize you went to the cross to pay for all of my sins. I believe that you're the Son of God, that you're God in the flesh. And I believe you paid for all my sins on the cross so I wouldn't have to. I believe you're raised from the dead. And Jesus, I'm waking up this morning and I'm saying, please save me. I don't want my time to be up. Come to me now. Please, Jesus, save me. And I give my life to you. I want to follow you. I trust you to save me. And Father, thank you for doing it. If somebody sincerely prayed that to you, we thank you that your gospel is that simple. Lord, if someone needs to join this church, Lord, we pray that you'd move in their heart. And we pray that you would speak to them in that area. And if that is your will, they would hear you clearly and they would obey. And they would obey and repent. They turn to you. And if it's your will to join this church, they come, Lord. And Lord, we pray for each of us as individuals and for Highland Avenue Baptist as a church, Lord. Let us continue to let you examine us, Jesus. Please wake us up. Help us to strengthen what remains and is about to die. Thanks for showing us how. Help us to remember, therefore, what we've received and heard from you and obey it and repent. And Lord, we thank you for letting us know we need to do it now. Help us. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen.